This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
This is of my favorite murder minisode.
Can you deal with it?
Can you?
Try to.
Do your best.
Do you want to go first?
I'll go first. Wait.
I, Karen, will go second. What if we kept that as the intro?
I, Georgia.
I, robot.
I. You, Karen.
I.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Okay. This is a hometown murders that you guys send us because we want to hear about them because they're fucking fascinating. Send them to my favorite murder at Gmail. All right. So this is one someone sent me, the J. Cadian murder. This story is based on my recollections and what my mother was told by Jay's mom and sister, which she later shared with me.
Ooh.
I grew up in Great Falls, Virginia. Jay Cadian lived across the street from me on a cul-de-sac. We were the same age and attended school together from fourth grade up until the end of high school. All the kids in the neighborhood would tend to play together, but he never really joined in. By the time we got to high school, we were friendly, but not really friends, although he would sell me pot on the cheap and was pretty chill when we smoked together. Fucking, that's the true friend right
there. That's really nice.
Yeah. After we went to college, James Madison, I believe, he apparently began having serious mental health issues and ended up back at home living with his parents on and off. According to my mom, when he was at home, he began working as a door-to-door knife salesman and came by the house from time to time selling his knives. Man. So that's the background. During this period, mother worked hard to ensure he attended therapy and received psychiatric care. His father was more of a pull yourself together by your bootstraps kind of guy, fucking, and not supporting. Well, one day, and I learned this much later, his mother was begging him to come to therapy appointment she had set up for him, and he snapped. He stabbed her multiple times and fled in his car. She died. Mrs. Cadian was soon thereafter discovered by her daughter, Jay's older sister.
Oh.
The police tracked down Jay and found him curled up in a parking structure at James Madison, covered in blood. Oh. My mom swears to this day that she thought she heard screaming that day. She was home when it occurred. I don't know if that's true, but it freaks me out anyways. It is still so shocking and heartbreaking that this kid I knew all my childhood could do something like this, and to the only family member who was really trying to help him. I believe he was since diagnosed with schizophrenia and went to an institution instead of jail, but I don't want to look it up because I don't want to look up any articles should it taint my memory of this tragedy. Mm. My parents moved about 5 years ago, but Mr. Cadian was still living in the house. I couldn't do that.
Whoa.
Another story, he says. Again, in Great Falls, a mansion with a serious security system was broken into 12 years ago. The family, mother, father, and children, were tied naked to chairs while the perpetrators robbed the house, except the robbers barely took anything, and they never untied the family. One of them got free and ran across the street and woke the family for whom I was working with, whom I was working as a nanny. I came over to start the day, and the cops were swarming the whole area. That one scared the whole area for a while because it just didn't make any sense. And that's from Alexandra G.
Someone broke in and made the family get naked and tied them to chairs and then didn't take
anything. Barely stole anything.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Creep. With a hardcore security system.
That's so creepy.
Totally.
But not as creepy as a man who continues to live in the house where his wife was murdered by his son.
Who was just like, get your bootstraps and pick them up, motherfucker. Like, that's so sad.
Well, because it's someone who doesn't know what to do.
No.
He just doesn't know what to do.
No, he doesn't. He can't think outside of, you know, here's what you do with your life. These are the normal things that happen. And as soon as I read, like, in his early 20s, he he started acting weird. It's like, you're schizophrenic.
Right.
Right? Or, I mean, you know, that's not necessarily true, but...
Well, that's when oftentimes in young men, schizophrenia starts to develop, or they show signs.
And like all the therapy in the world can't fucking scare away schizophrenia. Like, that's not...
It's not how it works.
Therapy away schizophrenia.
No. You need meds.
Treat it, for sure.
Yeah.
But not through therapy.
Right. You need some meds.
Dude.
You need medicine.
Not shitty weed. So anyway, hey, read me one of yours.
Okay. The headline for this is, the subject line, I mean, is two serial killer neighbors when your real estate agent can't tell you. It says when your real estate agent can't tell you.
Oh, no.
Hi, Karen and Georgia. My name is Sage and I'm Chloe. We are two sisters.
Oh, yay. Sage and Chloe.
It's an email that has two people narrating it.
I want to see them like switching back and forth. And I'm Chloe.
Should I do different voices?
Yes.
My name is Sage.
And I'm Chloe.
We are two sisters who love your podcast and want to tell you all about our hometown murders. Okay, fine. Well, more our mom grandmothers, if that still counts. It does. We grew up in Vancouver, Washington, which is right over the Oregon-Washington border. That's me. That's me giving a little geographical knowledge
I'm
that I have.
Impressed.
I'm going to pop it in when I have it.
Get it, girl.
What if I'm wrong? Where our mom also lived for part of her childhood.
I think you meant to say, so what if I'm wrong?
I mean, fuck it. She also lived in Auburn, Walla Walla, and Seattle, which will be relevant in a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's called foreshadowing. So her dad moved a lot for work. So my grandmother rented out their Vancouver house in the late 80s while they were living in Seattle or somewhere we can't remember because we're bad daughters and listeners. My grandmother stayed behind to paint the house before the renters moved in. Your grandmother?
Dude, come on, honey.
That's not a grandma job.
No.
The house was in a quiet cul-de-sac in the suburban sprawl that is Vancouver. So our grandmother, Marjorie, left all the windows and doors wide open as she tends to think more about paint fumes than a fucking serial killer.
No, fucking huff that shit, man.
Especially in the 80s, in parentheses. Around this time, young boys around the same age as my uncle have been disappearing from Vancouver and nearby Portland.
Shut up.
Where we all live now, excluding our grandma, who still lives in that same house.
Oh.
Anyways, through those open windows backed up to her backyard was another home and an apartment building. This apartment building is the residence of one Wesley Allen motherfucking Dodd. That's how it's written.
I love it.
Seriously, what's with serial killers having three names? You're selfish enough to kill people and just your first and last name isn't good enough for you. Steven and I were just talking about this.
Yeah.
It's three names are listed. We all know this.
Because Wesley Dodd
could be anybody.
Yeah.
But Wesley Allen Dodd.
Is a super special person all to himself.
Is exactly that one killer.
Yeah.
Okay, for those of you who haven't heard of him, he killed three boys in the 80s in Washington and Oregon. Dodd was the first American inmate to be hung since the 60s by his own request, we may add.
Fuck, what a psycho.
It gives my grandmother shivers to this day to think about how just a stone's throw away, a child was being held for days before being murdered.
The same day? Area? And questions I can't formulate.
It's the same day area. It's also horrible to think that in a park where we hiked and played when we were little kids, two children were stabbed to death. Dodd was sent to Walla Walla, where coincidentally our mom and her family lived at the time. They were close enough to the prison to hear it. And in fact, our mother would often mess with her brother, saying that inmates had escaped and were on their way over whenever there was an alarm or siren.
Why are moms the worst people? My mom would say, I'm going to call the Indian reservation unless you're good. And she'd pick up the phone and pretend to call an Indian reservation. It's just so racist.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. This is the funniest family of all time.
Coco.
Adrian, my sister's friend, Adrian, my favorite thing is the way she controlled her three children when they were all the same age and little, is she would just look around, like if they were in a restaurant and they were all acting up, she'd just look around and go, oh no, the man's coming.
To me now.
I know.
Like, what the fuck? What the
fuck? Because she would act scared and then they would all get like super.
I know. Vince did that to me when I was like being loud at a restaurant. I'd be like, baby, what's going on?
Really? Right now?
I'll be quiet.
The man's coming. Okay. Sorry, this got a little long. We're back in the email now. That's not our story.
Yeah.
We have one last little anecdote which may or may not read. I bet it will. As I mentioned earlier, our mom has also lived in Auburn, which is near Seattle, so she saw some good gun shows.
Oh, wait.
But also,
as
she's...
you know.
You know that about this family.
Sure.
Everybody up there. She saw some good gun shows, but also spent some time at her friend's house, and she was little in the 70s. Her friend's house backed up to the Green River, where Gary Ridgway dumped his victims. He's the Green River Killer. My grandparents obviously were great at picking neighborhoods. Well, those are our hometown murders. Thank you, Karen, Georgia, for making shitty shifts and long commutes bearable.
Aww.
Thanks, gals.
Murderinos are the best, especially when they tell their sisters about it.
I know. Sage and Chloe, way to go.
You guys are Sage and Chloe. I was going to say you're Sage. That didn't make sense. So I didn't say anything at all. All right. My second one is just, these ones I like the most. It's just my hometown murder. That's like, you know.
Nice.
So this is Cassie M. And she says, hey guys, just wanted to let you know that I love your podcast. I too suffer from the anxiety of dying a horrific death and witnessing one, and somehow listening to these true crime stories helps with that.
It really does.
Word, girl, we get it. Anyway, I wanted to share my hometown murder story. I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and went to school with a kid named Michael Falotter. Michael Falotter. Mm-hmm. He lived three streets behind me, so we would sometimes walk to get home together and rode the bus together when we were in middle school. His dad, Scott Falotter, worked for Motorola and came to my school and discussed his job with my class and brought some pretty cool gadgets to show us too. He had an older sister, and she and his mom would walk the park we lived across the street from while he and I played on the playground. My mom joined his mom a couple times too. Then one day, our neighborhood was all over the news showing their house. His dad, Scott Falotter, killed their mom one night while the kids were asleep upstairs. He stabbed her 44 times.
Oh, no.
And then finished the job by drowning her in their backyard pool.
Good God.
Oh, my God. The kids heard their mom screaming and came downstairs to check.
It was horrible.
Scott told them to go back upstairs, so they did. Scott claimed he was, quote, sleepwalking when he brutally murdered his wife. It was horrible. The kids left and went to live with their other relatives, and I think Scott is still in jail. It was the craziest thing ever because we lived in such a quiet little neighborhood. No one would have ever suspected something like this happening. It's like, if you don't suspect something in your neighborhood, it's going to fucking happen. You know what I mean? That's why
suspecting.
That's why I suspect something in every place I'm ever in my life, because then it'll never happen.
Obviously the sleepwalking defense didn't work.
It doesn't look like it.
Because Maybe for the stabbing, but then dragging to a pool. Oh, God.
Like, if you didn't...
That's so terrible.
If you were trying to kill someone, you stabbed them 44 times, knew it hadn't worked, and then took them... Like, you know what I mean? It's like too many steps.
That's right.
It's also bullshit.
Serious bullshit.
But how sad that those kids came downstairs.
I know. It's nightmarish. Ugh. Nightmare.
Just fuck off. Just fucking leave.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem's solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager. And companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information. So you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Craft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's madeincookware.com. Goodbye.
All right, want to hear this one?
Yes.
The subject line is, should I buy a murder condo? I really wanna. Hi,
yes.
Girls.
The answer is yes, and invite us over and we're recording from there from
That's
now on.
Right. You better make us dinner.
We're fucking coming over.
This is Heather. Hi, girls. You're both just wonderful to listen to, and it really feels like we're listening to some of our closest friends.
Aww.
She's talking in the royal we. Oh, it says we being my sister and I.
Oh,
what? Fuck. I didn't do that on purpose.
Sisters. They're doing it for themselves.
That's so funny. We being my sister and I, we rarely agree on anything, but we both think you're great. That's fun. I could def gush some more, but anyway, on to my question. Good, good. I'm shopping for a new home for the first time ever. I've done my research and I kept a really close eye on the market. I think, if this is what I think it is. Okay,
oh
hold on.
Is it the Los Feliz murder home?
Hold
no,
on.
She's like, I have $2 million to spend and I'm a fucking psychopath.
I think I've just found the perfect unit I want to buy. The thing is, this one building in my city has prices that are too good to be true, probably because they are. Mm. It's a murder condo. Yes, a murder condo. Two guys were shot there while a third person, a woman, escaped by crawling onto the neighbor's balcony. Here's a link to the story. That's not allowed.
tell me.
Over a dozen units have gone up for sale since the ordeal, all at reduced pricing. One unit in particular has the best price, and I'm pretty sure that's capital T, capital O, the one. Other than the murders, this seems like the perfect opportunity. I know you can't tell me what to do, but I'm curious.
No, we can tell you.
What would you do? Thanks for your input, newest murderina, Heather. P.S.
Heather clearly doesn't know that we're going to tell you what to do.
Oh, I would tell you what to do if you didn't ask.
And we're about to.
That's my whole thing.
P.S. what?
P.S. I wish you would revisit Paul Bernardo. That's my hometown murder. You know what, Heather? I will revisit Paul Bernardo. That's the...
I know.
That's that... the honeymoon, I don't know what they were called in Canada.
It just kind of bore me, and everyone wants us to do it, which makes me, who's such a fucking cunt, not want to do it.
Well, it's just it's just that I did it, but I biffed it because I didn't do any research, and I was just kind of talking through it. It was like episode three.
Let's you and I both start back over from one and redo all our old
That's
ones.
A great idea. And then we'll just, no crosstalk, no chit-chat.
Just let's put some let's make this a narrative podcast.
Let's get quiet and put music underneath everything.
It's just baby screaming.
No swearing.
Baby screaming. The background music is just... I don't know. Okay, here's what we think about your fucking condo. Tell me what you really think. Put your phone down and tell me what you're
thinking. Well, I opened the link. I opened the link. So I just want to make sure.
I don't want to know.
Okay.
I just want to say that it's really weird. If it was a drug killing, I'd be like, move the fuck in there. Who gives a shit?
Right.
If it was a bunch of women got kidnapped and fucking killed there, I'd be like, don't fucking move in there.
Okay.
What do you think?
So are you saying that the difference is if it was a one-off kind of passionless murder that somebody did for business, almost like the mafia?
Yeah.
Then you're fine.
Yeah. If it was someone had a horrible suffering,
not that those people didn't energy.
Suffer, but
they didn't suffer. If they got shot mafia style, that's the whole thing. Is that
if there was a captive situation where these poor people were, held captive and suffered, and it was just horrible, then I wouldn't want to move there because you would just feel awful. Not that I believe in ghosts, but it would just feel awful.
Bad vibes. You definitely have to burn a bunch of sage.
Here's one of my least favorite fucking quotes, or least favorite sayings: bad juju.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I fucking hate that.
I don't like it at all.
What would you do?
I just, the thing I just said about the mafia is not true, because they do tend to torture, which is bad vibes also.
Uh-huh. Only if they want information. If they already have it, they're like, bye.
Right, but I mean, it's 50-50.
Sure.
Who knows what the actual case is?
Never been in the mafia. I don't know.
And especially the Canadian mafia.
Oh, sure.
Who knows what those motherfuckers are doing? Pouring maple syrup down your throat.
Ooh.
Whatnot. Stuffing maple leaves up your nose. Hot maple syrup. You're getting waterboarded, but also it feels like breakfast.
Side note, how much do you hate when you're at a restaurant? They're like, if you want real maple syrup, it'll be $2 extra. You seen that?
You're high class. I'm only at swingers.
I don't want log cabin fucking bullshit.
Give me the real stuff, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it really does taste different.
It does. Okay, go on.
Anyhow.
So move in. I mean, no, or just pay an extra $5,000 and fucking get something else.
Okay, wait. This was a shooting.
Yeah.
Two guys got shot. One lady got away.
Which that's makes good you like, vibes. That's fucking great vibes.
That's survivor. Then you've got some... If there's residual energy from her, it's like Eye of the Tiger sounding.
Totally.
But then there's the two guys that got shot.
Poor babies.
So you're gonna have to find out: is it new carpet, new paint? did they spackle over those holes?
And how much less are we talking?
Also, why buy in this economy when the world is ending?
They're living in Canada. It can't be that expensive. Not LA.
And also, nothing's gonna change for them when our
You gotta know the market too. If it's Los Angeles, then it's
everything cost $1 billion, so if you could buy something here for cheap.
Totally.
But what's the deal in Toronto right now?
Who knows?
Toronto is the New York of Canada, isn't it?
Is it?
I have no idea. I've already proven that I know nothing about Canada. Time and again. Your answer is yes, buy it.
Buy it. I mean, don't buy it because of that, but buy it despite.
Option with a lease to buy? Lease with an option to buy?
I don't know. I rent a fucking one-bedroom rent-controlled apartment in fucking Los Angeles. I don't know anything.
I mean, what's the worst that could happen? You're in there and you have some nightmares.
There's no such thing as fucking ghosts or nightmares. it's all fucking made up by your dumb brain. It's just I'm a brain. And I want to freak you. It's not real. Nothing is real.
Once again, I'm going to tell you, I had a real ghost experience. And you trying
so
to negate
I.
it. Well, then stop saying it's not real.
Okay.
Oh no. I hope you're happy. Shit.
No, I'm never
happy.
I
can't get back out of this link. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the person that sent that, but now I think what's her name? I can't get back. How do you get back?
You can't get back.
I can't get back out.
Wow, this devolved. Thank you.
This has gone to shit. It was Heather.
Heather,
you've broken up this podcast. I hope you're happy.
Heather,
your greed.
Send us photos.
Greedy landowner.
Of your new, beautiful, you know, paint an Eye of the Tiger painting on the like mural on the fucking wall and send us some photos.
Heather, don't send photos. Send Georgia maple syrup.
Oh, my God. Send it. Oh, my God. Yes.
Is that legal? Across like the
drug.
State
line. I like totally mainline it. Sounds like a drug.
Oh, God. Actually, buy the condo and get the paperwork going so that we could possibly move to Toronto and become citizens there if need be in the next 6 months.
Let's say that we don't cause a ruckus and anarchy and then need to go somewhere.
Let's just say
we're renting out your second room.
Let's just say you might have two new roommates in the murder apartment. We'll get through it together.
Listen, you marry someone legally in Canada, then you adopt me.
Ooh.
What if you adopted me and Steven as your babies?
That's such a good idea.
You could totally do that. You can adopt an adult.
Can you really?
Probably. Some states. I think so.
I so believed you.
I believe it too. I just don't want to lie to you.
This is just like ghosts, but with adoption.
I believe everything I say. And then Vince and Steven and I will become your children.
Okay.
All right.
This is the best new sitcom idea you've ever had. It's our family in Toronto. Someone got shot, but now we're together.
Oh yeah, the tiger doesn't mean nothing.
What? Yep. You did it.
And then it's like guest starring Mimi.
Yep.
Poor baby. She's just a guest star.
And
feature. Oh, introducing Mimi. Oh, God.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening.
We did our best.
No, we didn't. I think this is coming out tomorrow, right? So happy holidays, everyone.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
To be careful.
Get your shopping done, but don't get aggressive.
Get your vaccines and your shopping done.
Get your vaccine.
I don't know. I thought that's what you were going to say. Thanks to Stephen Ray Morris, our fucking audio engineer.
Audio technician.
Technician for the Percast.
That's what I want to start calling him.
Audio technician.
Did you say for the Percast?
Well, I want to plug his podcast.
Oh. Giselle, I didn't realize that was yours.
Yes. That is.
Oh, yeah. The Percast. I'm going to give it a listen. It's a cat podcast.
Sorry.
I'm going to give it a listen.
Some people think it's a joke.
No, it's totally not a joke. I mean, it's a joke, but it's not a joke.
Exactly.
It's real.
Georgia was on. Vince was on. It was great.
Yeah, we were on. Talking about Elvis for an hour and a half, which is like all I want to do with my life.
Your dream.
My dream. Thank you guys for listening.
We love you and stuff.
Rate, reviews, whatever, you know what to do.
Yep.
You're just and not you doing do it. It because
they're doing it.
Oh, you're doing it. Thank you. Well, you guys, thank you.
Stay sexy.
Don't get murdered.
Goodbye.
Elvis, you want a cookie? Want a cookie?
He's like, what?
Dude,
another one?
You want a cookie? Oh my God. Karen, ask him.
Hey, do you want a cookie?
Yeah, cookie boy, cookie. There we go. Bye.
Bye.